It's coming up on 5:45 on a Wednesday already. It is October 21st, and somebody's got a birthday today. Yeah, my stepdad. He is turning 79 plus one. We'll call him sometime after 7. I know he's not listening now, so that's good. He's in suburban Milwaukee in Wauwatosa. Great guy. Best stepdad ever. And Jason Kanz, you going to challenge me on that one?
I don't think I will. I don't know your stepdad.
Yeah.
How old were you when your mom married him?
Yeah, so 83. My parents' marriage after 20 years had crumbled and ended in divorce. And so they dated for 4 years. And he had lost his first wife to brain cancer, actually. And so they dated. And so they started dating in 83. And 87, they got married. And so they're coming up on 33 years of marriage this November 28th.
Wow. And so you were already out of the house or out of school at that point.
Yeah. So I was, they started to see each other after my freshman year. So quite a bit later than yours.
So. Yeah. Right. So I had two stepfathers, one of whom was not a great stepfather at all. But the one my mother is currently married to, John, is wonderful. And I think they are at 27 years of marriage. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It is. It's not what you necessarily order for Christmas, but you can learn to be grateful for it. So.
Right, absolutely.
And let's see. I'm going to share this story because it's just kind of funny. No, okay. One thing. So his birthday is today, October 21st. That was my parents' anniversary. My mom's marriage to my dad. That was their anniversary date. That's kind of weird.
That is kind of weird. Yeah. Hopefully
All right,
he remembers.
We have both adopted children from Africa. We from Liberia. You, prior to that, you and Heather adopted Tessa from Ethiopia. So, I don't know. What do you do in this situation? Like, there's different things that just surprise me. And so, a lot of times I try to keep my kids anonymous, but it's hard to do in this story. So, like, I particularly, like, I don't know. I mean, I think I kind of thought if you adopt somebody from a poor third world country, that they're going to just be so grateful for whatever you put in front of them. And yet, that's not necessarily the case. And so the other night there was hamburgers, and he just wasn't hungry. And then I finished that hamburger yesterday after work. I'm like, it was in the refrigerator. Did you want? But then it kind of occurred to me, even Sunday, whatever night that was, Monday night maybe, it was just the idea, like, when you adopt a child from Africa and they don't eat what you serve them, and then, I mean, I was just like, but wait, but there's kids starving in Africa.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, kind of the expectations that we as parents bring to that too, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's true for all of our kids. And I know for me that those things will stir inside as well. And it just leads me to frustration. And I feel kind of you know, really? And so I resonate definitely with some of what you're saying. And I think particularly as they hit those teenage years, that often that sense of entitlement for all of our kids is really can be a significant thing. And as parents, I think we have to be sensitive to what stirs in us when those things come up, you know, and how do we continue to be loving and gracious when they're pushing all of our buttons?
Right. Yeah, no, that's
good.
And
I don't do that well all the time.
Loving kids, I mean, at different ages, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15. Right now I've got 5 of them 15 to 20. And like, yeah, well, they don't even, you know, you used to be as a parent, you used to be a big deal. That is not the case anymore.
Right, so. Yeah. Well, and I mean, even if you look developmentally what's going on, there's that differentiation, right? So, I mean, they're trying to find who they are, find their own identity. And unfortunately, sometimes what happens is they treat their parents and their siblings really poorly. And in turn, sometimes we treat them poorly, and it leads to a lot of conflict, you know, back and forth. And I think it's a matter of holding on and praying you make it through the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's good. Good thoughts for sure. So there we go. That's our consecrated conversation for this morning here on WWIB. All right, Jason, we'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks, friend.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Right, yep. Bye-bye. So did you do some shoveling?
You know, I didn't.
Ah.
I was conversating with Michelle yesterday, and I was like, yeah, I'm debating on like getting on the snowblower and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And she's like, well, if you look a couple days down the road,
it's going to melt.
It's going to melt. So yeah. the can I call it the lazy side of me was like, maybe I'll just stay inside. And we had some Papa Murphy's pizza and just sort of let it be.
I got a little shoveling in. It was heavy and wet. But it's always
great
a good
for
workout.
Snowballs and snowmen and et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it is October. It is 21st October Connect Month here. But October also known for certain TV specials, right?
Yeah. And you've probably seen them on broadcast networks before around this time. Peanuts, usually you see the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. You know, love Peanuts Christmas specials, et cetera. Well, no more. In a 2020 move, Apple TV bought all the rights for all things Peanuts. And so, yeah, the Charlie Brown holiday specials, including The Great Pumpkin, which will be coming up very soon, will not be airing on ABC or any other broadcast TV network this year because Apple says they're mine now.
Mm.
Now, before you say good grief about this development, Apple has confirmed that fans will be able to watch A Charlie Brown Christmas, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, for free for a couple of days, but only on their platform, which, again, they're trying to get more subscribers. So, I don't know, like, it's one of those things that you just sort of expect to see it on broadcast TV, you know, especially if you kind of cut the cable and just do over the air.
As Dylan sang, the times they are a-changing, and there's so many streaming services, and so you get whatever
content you can.
How
do you pick which one that?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, one of my favorites growing... We've talked at times about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original. Another one, it was the year of my birth, 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Love it. It's such a classic.
I still love that. Yeah. You know, it's a Humble Bumble. And
yes.
Yukon Cornelius is my favorite.
The Land of Misfit Toys is just so good.
Yes.
And such a metaphor for life and even how... To me, well, spiritualizing, but this is like God came and rescued us. We're all misfit toys.
Right?
Yeah, two of the original puppets from the 1964 movie are hitting the auction block.
Really?
Going to cost way more than we could afford. People now have a chance to own the Santa Claus puppet and Rudolph himself. Auction House Profiles in History estimates the pair will go for upwards of $250,000 for a puppet. Santa and Rudolph will come on a display with Christmas trees, snowy mountains, and presents.
Brother, I'm big on nostalgia, but not $250,000 big.
That is for sure. WWIB, good to have you aboard here on the WIB Wake Up Show this morning.
Halt! Who goes there?
Us, of course. Who'd you think?
Oh, well, then that's okay.
103.7 WWIB. Hello?
Good morning. Is this Kent Spicer?
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Kent, Mark, and Caleb on WWIB and WIB.com. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine.
Well, I hear congratulations are in order today.
Yeah, I guess so. I keep hearing it from my wife. She doesn't let me forget what today is.
So is it a milestone birthday? Which one is it today?
I caught up with your mother, Mark, 80.
Or 79 plus one, either way.
That's the way I'm handling it. Yes.
I've heard, so hers, we talked with her back in February 21st, so here you are 8 months later. I'm sure there's been plenty of gentle kidding over the 33 years of your marriage, just kind of that she's the older one, right?
Well, I don't let her forget it, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
She's leading the way. I'm following.
Yeah. So we had a fun party for her that was pre-COVID, and who knew that this would be one of the crazier years in your eight decades on the planet, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. The 80th party in March, that was just before the COVID virus broke out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a lucky thing.
There's been a lot of talk of 79 plus one, and is that from generally how you're going to refer to your new age?
Oh, I that's the only way I'm going to refer to it.
It's quite the milestone.
I'm not going to admit that other number, you know?
Yeah, right. Now, we've talked about you and Mom. I'd like to work out at the gym, and COVID kind of affected that previously. I mean, even two or three times a week. Where's that status at now, working out at 79 plus one?
Well, the gym is still open. They're that they are honoring the 25% rule, which is, but so far, membership or attendance anyway is well below the 25%.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so it's open, and we just got to be careful.
Yeah,
and so, I don't use the locker room at all, so that's the one area I'll have trouble getting back into. So you come dressed to work out. So
yeah, well, you guys have stayed COVID free, and so that's great.
That's a great blessing.
Yeah, we're trying to.
When you look back at 79 plus 1 years of life, any perspective that you could offer for those of us who are a little bit younger in terms of just making the most of each day?
Well, I say I wish I would have got, I didn't get into this workout routine until I retired. I mean, I wish I would have started a lot earlier.
Sure.
It does have a lot of benefits, keeping you healthy and keeping what you have, you know, so... That for sure is a good thing to do. I know when you're working, it's harder. You don't have as much time, and you have family, and things are harder to fit in then.
And I know you've enjoyed a lot of golf over the years, even up to this age, right?
Yeah, but the golf is kind of
it's falling off.
The game is just every year. It's one stroke more than.
All right. Well. The field has been cut in half for the Home for the Holidays, and we continue to invite people's participation at WIB.com, right, Caleb?
Absolutely. So this is week number 2, and that goes through the weekend, and then kind of a shortened week of voting just Monday through Friday. Next week, we'll be down to the final 8, the last 8 stories, and you all, again, deciding who goes home for the holidays, who wins that prize of up to $1,000 from WWIB toward round-trip airfare for 2. We want a family, individuals, someone who might not otherwise be able to be together with those they love this Christmas to have that opportunity. And we're so grateful to the sponsors helping make this opportunity possible.
Yeah.
And Mark had the idea this morning. He said, let's just try and go through these a little bit more in case people haven't heard all of these stories. So let's dive right in.
All right. First one. My daughter Candace is a missionary and doesn't like to spend money on pleasure trips. We try to bring her home often, but COVID has made that really difficult this year.
Story number 2, my husband Preston has served 18 years in the U.S. Navy, and for the last 2 years, he has been stationed Guam away from myself and his family. We are lucky to be able to talk on the phone a couple of times a month due to being 15 hours different in time. We can't really video chat ever because the internet is so bad there. We've been married 8.5 years, and when he is done, we will have spent almost half our marriage apart from each other. I miss him so much and just have to remember God has this plan for us. And right now his plan is for him to serve his country so he can come home to me. I would love to be able to see him in person. It would mean the world to me and make the time away not seem so long.
Wow, that's powerful. In third story, in March of this year, I was able to see my cousin and meet his family for the first time in over 30 years. His mother, my mom's sister, had passed away on New Year's Day 2020, and he came to Eau Claire to spread her ashes. My cousin grew up in Alabama, so we never saw each other. Every Christmas day since I was a little girl, we've gathered together as a family with my mom's brother and his family. My cousin was never able to be a part of that tradition. I would love for them to be able to afford to travel here and enjoy the wonderful tradition surrounding Christmas. Being chosen for the $1,000 toward plane tickets would be a huge blessing, not only for him and his family, but for the rest of our family here.
Home for the Holidays, 12 stories up for your votes. Number 4, I would love to go see my brother and his family in Oregon. My brother moved there 20 years ago, a few days after my one and only sister passed away. As a single mom of 4, I've never been there to see his place. In fact, I've not even been on a plane since 2000. I haven't seen my brother since my dad passed away in February 2018 when he flew here for his funeral. Growing up, he was my best friend, and I really miss him so much. I would be so grateful to fly there to see him. It is my dream.
Here's another one, fifth story. My daughter Rachel's husband, Jacob, serves in the U.S. Coast Guard. They're rarely with us for holidays, mostly because of the distance between us. They have their third child due in March next year. Because of their desire to stay out of the debt, there is little left at the end of each month for travel. I would dearly love to help them come home for Christmas this year, especially since her sister and her husband from Eau Claire are due with their first child on December 20th. It would bless all of us to have our children and grandchildren together this year.
Story number 6. My wish this Christmas is for my brother to be able to be home with us. He's serving in the U.S. Marine Corps and has been deployed to Iraq for the last 6 months. He hasn't been able to be home for a long time, and it would mean the world to my family and I to have him home with us again. Every year, all of my siblings and their families come home for Christmas to spend the day together. It has been very difficult having him away for so long, and it would be a wish come true for him to be able to spend Christmas with us this year.
All right. Should we keep going or should we?
I think we can continue these later on, maybe in the hour. We'll continue to share all of these top 12 stories. But I mean, if you don't want to wait, go read them for yourself right away at WWIB.com and vote. Send someone home for the holidays.
Absolutely. All right. We got six down, six more to go, huh? Home for the holidays?
Yeah. We're down to the final 12 stories up for your votes. It'll be narrowed down after voting goes through Sunday. We narrowed down to the final eight next week. You can vote once per week at WWIB.com and help someone win $1,000, up to $1,000 from WIB toward round-trip airfare for two this Christmas so they can be with those they love. So again, top 12 stories. We read six earlier. Here's number seven. My sister moved to Arizona several years ago and hasn't been able to afford to visit. We were planning to visit her last spring but had to cancel due to COVID.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Story number eight. This past year has been rough for everyone. I work in the restaurant industry, and we've been closed more often than opened. I would love to go see my grandson in Florida at Christmas. He's 10 years old and is isolated with online schooling. I would love to surprise him with his grandma at Christmas. With my husband being disabled, money is very tight and would love this opportunity to win.
Another story here. Our son left on deployment on January 17th, 2020, soon after COVID broke out. For the entire deployment, his ship was under quarantine. He was supposed to come home with the rest of the fleet in July, but his ship got extended. During the extension, one of his shipmates drowned in Guam. The ship became very quiet and downtrodden, as you can imagine. We finally got word that they were coming home to San Diego. The Navy is not allowing the sailors to come home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Our wish is to be able to surprise our sailor for Christmas in San Diego. This is not something we would be able to afford at this time of year, as he is one of eight children. This would not only bless us, but our precious son, who is missing his family terribly right now. As with many families, Christmas has always been very important to us. Please pray for all who are serving our country.
All right, nine. That's story nine. We've got three more to go here. You can vote on these. Home for the holidays at WIB.com. My husband's father was given 6 months to live more than 6 months ago. My husband flew to Dallas and laid hands on him, and he received healing and comfort at that time. He has a liver condition, and the doctors are still not giving him much time. But it's been 4 years since he's been able to visit his grandkids here. We would love to fly them out to have a few more memories with him.
Story number 11 out of our last 12 for Home for the Holidays, up for your votes at WIB.com. My in-laws live in Arizona, and because of COVID have not been able to come home this year. They missed family Easter and the birth of their newest grandbaby, whom they still have not met. Due to COVID, they also had to cancel their trip home this fall for the family get-together. Sharon and Jerry were longtime residents of Eau Claire and served as one of the top foster homes in the area, seeing more than 100 kids and families come in and out of their lives, helping whenever they were needed. They have done so much good for so many people, and we want them home for Christmas.
And finally, the 12th and final story you can find at WIB.com, Home for the Holidays. I live in Price County and listen to WIB in my delivery truck. We found out recently that my wife's aunt, Kathy, has stage 4 cancer. My wife has been with her aunt in Prescott, Arizona, the last 4 weeks taking care of her. My wife will be returning home to Wisconsin in the next few weeks, but will be returning to continue caring for her aunt for an extended period of time. We have two high school-aged children still at home. We would like to travel down to Prescott so our family can be together with our aunt Kathy for Christmas. We do not know how long she has, and I know this visit would encourage her and give her something to look forward to.
Again, 12 stories. We've been through them all here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Very moving. And you all decide. You all with your votes decide. And not an easy choice when you look at these wonderful, wonderful stories. And we wish we could help them all. But again, we're going to do what we can. And so the station's just so thankful for the sponsors making it possible to do this for someone this Christmas.
We'd love to be able to help all of them. But somebody goes away, and we'll look forward to who that winner is.